The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And with me, I have Ray Alibi. I don't know if you remember her, but when I used to do my show with Rudy on a Sunday, Love is Love, ever so often she used to come in and have a chat with us. So we're going to be talking about Transgender Coalition Call for Equal Rights. And this is something that has been on the table for a very long time. So it's just about 3:31, and this is where we start this interview. So help me welcome to our show, Freedom 106.5 FM. Help me welcome to Overdrive, 3 to 6 in the afternoon. Ray Alibi, Director of TNT Transgender Coalition. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Hello. Hi, good evening, Carrie B. Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Ray. I feel like I ain't talked to you in a long time, girl.
It has been a while.
How everything? How are you doing?
Things are very hectic and busy. I'm doing well. Busy is better than bored. That's what I always say. And things are really, really busy, especially this, we're wrapping up Pride this weekend here. So there's been a slew of activities, all culminating in our Pride Parade and after party on Sunday.
Nice.
So there's been a lot of things going on, lots of things going on.
Nice. Now, I have been to the Pride Parade last year and I had the time of my life. Let me tell you something, yeah?
As you should.
You see the excitement, the energy and the love I felt? That was very, I don't want to say the word shocking, but, you know, that was the first one I've ever been to and I didn't think that it would have been so accommodating and so welcoming, you know. I didn't think
so. Man, of course.
Yeah, I had real fun.
We're all about inclusion and diversity.
Of course, yes. So I know we have a big topic to talk about today. I mean, some people, you know, don't have the understanding or don't have the openness to really hear personal. So let's get into that. The Transgender Coalition Call for Equal Rights. Let's start there. First thing first, explain to persons, what is the definition of transgender? Because a lot of us, we would search things online and then we would get all kind of responses. But someone who is there, who is in the field, explain to us what is meant by transgender and tell us more about the coalition Call for Equal Rights.
Okay. The trans is an umbrella term. Let's start with that.
Mm-hmm.
So when we speak of persons of trans experience, we're looking at binary trans persons, one. So a binary trans person would be someone who would have been assigned female at birth, but has a gender identity and lives a life as a man. In that case, they'd be called a trans man or trans masculine.
Right.
And the other trans binary would be a trans woman, would be someone who would have been assigned male at birth, but identifies with the gender category woman, and at different levels would express themselves that way. Now, I said different levels because when we're looking at trans and the whole, we have levels of trans and gender fluidity.
Mm-hmm.
So you have social, legal, as well as medical.
Social
legal. People who would...
Right.
Okay, go ahead, ask your question.
No, you said
this is a big question you asked me.
True. Now, mind you, I'm not sure if you remember, you have been on our show, Love is Love with Rudy, some time ago, and I think that show was a way to bring awareness of the community, the LGBTQ. It was, right? I really do hope that we get it back up because people have questions. People want to find out. People want to know from the persons who are there itself instead of actually going online and hearing all sort of information. And, you know, sometimes with the amount of information. right? And that's not cool. To me, that is not cool. So, You said with regards to is it social integration? That's what you said.
That's the levels of trans expression. There's social, legal, and medical.
And medical. Now, this is something that I remember Rudy and I were having a conversation about, but we have not gotten to finish it off. Let's talk about that medical aspect of it. What are the challenges that are being faced by persons from the transgender community?
Okay, so Let me just tie up this one last point. Trans is an umbrella term. So I only spoke about binary trans. Mm-hmm. In between that, everything in between that is you look at non-binary persons, gender non-conforming persons. Mm-hmm. You look at your drag queens, your female impersonators, all of these, anything that is not cisgender, rooted in a binary of being born assigned male at birth and living as a man, or being assigned female at birth and living as a woman. Anything in between there, whatever the degree of movement,
right,
is captured under the trans identity. So,
what is non-binary? What does that mean?
Well, non-binary is just that. It's literally that you are
you're neither
binary.
Here nor there.
We are neither on one end of the spectrum or the other. You're neither on identify as man or identify as woman. So you might find persons that actually who are bi-gender. Maybe if you look at Boy George and the way he would have expressed himself, wearing skirts and shirts and just the way he was, that might be the closest example of a bi-gender person that I could think of.
Right.
But we look at persons who are androgynous, or we have persons we refer to as STEMs.
STEM
is a local expression of a woman who is not entirely stud, as in mass presenting, and not entirely feminine presenting. A sort of capture between stud and femme, so you're STEM.
Wow.
That's non-binary. So you're in that position on any polarity.
Nice. Now, I mean, you're mentioning all these acronyms and all these statements and words to describe persons. This is something that, you know, it's a lot. Mm. It's a lot for persons to listen to.
It is.
So you would agree for that?
I agree.
So if you have to explain this, let's talk about the meaning of transgender. We're not going all the way to the other aspects of it. Let's start small. Let's break it down. So transgender, tell us what that is. So you mentioned it's about it's non-binary, right? Elaborate a little more on it.
It includes non-binary persons.
Right.
It literally is what it says. It is transgender. It is crossing the categories of gender.
Nice.
I guess to begin to explain that, one will have to have a very firm understanding of the difference between sex and gender and the ways in which they are intersectional.
Oh, right.
So when
we
speak about sex,
we are specifically speaking about male and female?
Specifically, male, female, intersex.
Right.
When we speak about gender and intersex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have those three categories now. We're looking at the performance. You see, one is not necessarily born a man or born a woman.
Right.
But the gender is performed based, I guess, on your society, your history.
Your
own physical attributes.
Yeah.
The way we perform masculinity or perform femininity will vary from country to country. It will have some similarities. If you get the idea of what I'm saying about gender, it is really a social construct.
Right, right.
And like any other social construct, it could be reconstructed, deconstructed.
Mm.
So once you are transgender, you are not of... you're not... Your identity or your expression is different from what people assume your sex assigned at birth should be expressed as.
Oh.
So you would expect boys to be tough and wear pants and not wear makeup or play with trucks and whatever.
Right.
You transgender when you are not doing those things. You're not fixed and situated just in this one social construct.
Mm-hmm.
You expect girls to wear dresses, but women and girls nowadays, they wear pants as well.
Yeah.
Short pants, long pants. Some wear shirts.
Pants.
You see,
I have on a shirt.
You see that difference of expression. So
yes.
Being trans could be just by expression. I must say that being trans, of trans expression or trans identity, has absolutely nothing to do with your sexual orientation.
True. Now, let me just interject here, right, Ray? I have grown up quite tomboyish. You remember that term from long time,
all right?
Right? And let me say, I did not know dress something, you know. I not into all that dress thing, right? And I've always used to wear like shirts and t-shirts and pants and jeans, like all the time. So when my friends would have dressed up in those nice dresses and, you know, the dope, the hair and makeup and thing, I was like, nah, I'm not into all that. I just want to put on something comfortable. So you have a point.
Comfortable.
You have a very valid point. Because you dress a particular way or carry yourself about in a particular way doesn't necessarily define your sexual orientation, right? Am I correct?
At all.
Yeah, you're quite correct.
It doesn't.
I don't care.
It's just a gender expression.
Yeah, I don't care. When I get pretty much 5 feet up, a basketball jersey and a pants, I wearing it, you know. I wearing it. You understand? Because it's what makes me feel comfortable.
You see, and the thing about it is, as woman, you have more latitude to do that than someone who is man.
Right.
If a man gets up in the morning, he can just easily say, oh, I feel like wearing
a skirt or a dress or a nightie.
Then the gender policing starts immediately.
True. But you know what? Let me
the gender policing starts immediately.
Stick a pin in that, right?
But women have a small attitude.
Stick a pin in that. You know, for juve and thing, we don't see men dressing up in women clothing, right? And nightie and all kind of things. So why is it not looked down upon? Because if a man decides, you know what, today I don't feel like wearing no jeans and sneakers and shirts and thing, you know, I feel like wearing something light, right? Why is it that they are being judged outside of juve or carnival?
Well, that's just a thing, because that the carnival atmosphere, the carnival energy, carnival spirit, the carnival is a resistance and a movement in resistance. So it allows you to create space for this sort of difference of expression. When we think about where carnival, the roots of carnival, it being rooted in rebellion and resistance, and be able to create and define your own identity, amongst other things. I'm not a carnival scholar, so let me piece up there one time.
All right. So, well, that's not a problem.
But we understand that that we allow expression and creativity around carnival time.
More or less, you could do what you want.
Have patience, forward tolerance, do what you want. Yeah, you could. Any other time you're dancing in the street half naked, they're going to call St. Dance Day or something. But Carnival Monday and Tuesday,
you can do what you want. Express yourself however you want. I find that not cool, man.
Correct.
I find that ain't cool. Because I should be able to get one day and just don't feel like putting on a dress today. Or don't feel like, you know, not wearing makeup. Or don't feel like presenting myself in a feminine or a girly way. I should have that right?
A lot of people, that's the thing about being trans. A lot of people will not identify as trans, but just doing that, you are transgendering.
Because
you are not performing that specific gender role that the society would have ascribed to you.
So,
the metrosexual man, the guy who likes to make sure his nails are well done and he's dressed and well, his clothes all pressed and he's looking sharp and spiffy. And first people will say, oh, you know, he gay.
Yeah. Not necessarily the man well-groomed.
Not at all.
And he probably
And
he probably grew up in a household where everybody is well-kept. I just always had an argument all the time. I was real gay for people with that, you know. If the man looking good, clean and fresh, and his nails are well-trimmed, and, you know, he have nice feet and nice hands, don't knock him for that. But the man like to look good.
Of course,
you
they have skin too. Men have skin.
I don't understand.
They need to clean the nails and the toenails too.
You understand? Now let's jump to the fact where you mentioned about medical side of it. The medical side of like being a transgender or even the equal rights for that. Explain that to us a little bit.
Okay, so we can let's look. Okay. So, in terms of gender-affirming care, we have none of that here.
Gender-affirming. Before you continue, tell us what does that mean? Gender-affirming.
Well, in layman language, I guess I would say I would present, let's say I walk into a healthcare center as a mass-presenting woman.
Right.
I would not be treated like an anomaly. They would ask, perhaps, what are my pronouns? Right. And I might say they are she, he, or they. And they would respect that. They would also recognize that even though I might be expressing masculinity by sex, I am female, so I do have those reproductive organs that are female, like ovaries,
right?
And they would be able to attend to that in a way that does not make me feel uncomfortable about myself or create body dysphoria. It also pertains to it's just being welcome in that healthcare space,
mm-hmm.
being seen as you are in a healthcare space, and there's a suspension of judgment and the ethics of care and the guiding principles.
Right.
So it's many little ways. A person who has gender dysphoria or body dysphoria, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say a man, or let's say a woman.
Mm-hmm.
A female person goes in, and this person is identifying as trans masculine, and you understand this person as a healthcare provider is trans masculine. They may not have had any kind of surgery.
Right.
They may not even want any kind of surgery. So you will be sensitive about the language you use. You will be talking about things like breast or vulva. You will use words more like chest area or the genitalia to not make the conversation uncomfortable and to create that trust with your patient. Also, there's accessing hormonal
treatment, right?
That's a big thing.
Is it difficult here in Trinidad?
It is very difficult here in Trinidad. It is restrictive. I would say difficult is not a word. It is, the cost is prohibitive. It is not available to persons of trans experience in the healthcare system. But the testosterone and the estrogen is there for persons who may have other medical conditions. So it's not to say that
it's not specifically
void
for
hormone treatment.
Right.
But it's not something that persons of trans experiences could access. However, if you want to go and pay an endocrinologist privately for it and do all the tests you have to do and pay for that privately as well,
then
of course you could get access to it. But that is extremely
expensive, I would imagine.
It is. Probably cheaper to go Cuba and get it, Thailand's a good place. So people who want to actually go into like real medical surgery to get that gender affirming body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who would want to perform top or bottom surgery or both, because you could do it any which way you want, you know. We could do top surgery here.
Mm-hmm.
There are doctors here who would do it privately. Very expensive.
I could imagine.
But not bottom surgery. For that, you would have to go, let us say, to Cuba, which is probably cheaper than actually doing it here, to be quite honest.
But do they actually do it here? So, like, let's say, for instance, you go into the private... Yeah, they do it, but it's really expensive.
Top surgery, yes.
Wow.
Bottom surgery is a whole lot more complicated and involved.
Wow.
And I would imagine be extremely cost prohibitive.
I could imagine.
So,
all right, that's understood.
It's probably easier for women. Eh? I think I'm women, but you know the thing about it, when you start taking hormone treatment,
mm-hmm.
certain changes in the body are irreversible. So if you get that breast tissue, the fatty tissue,
mm-hmm.
Trans woman, after a couple of months, that's not going away. That is staying there.
Wow.
I don't want to be more too explicit because it's a radio station, but yes, things that happen now.
I understand.
That remain permanent, good woman. Let me just leave that there. It remains permanent, so that is an advantage. So there's no need necessarily to have extensive surgery
for that,
because certain growth changes take place that
Understood.
Welcome.
Let's talk about human rights. Let's talk about something as simple as you mentioned the medical aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Something as inclusion. How does the transgender community or even the coalition, you know, how do they play that role in inclusion in, let's say, for instance, the workplace or even like when you're going to dinner? How is that for you all?
Dinner is all right. You know what's problematic? Using the restroom.
What are you saying?
I'm telling you, I think most trans persons would rather get a UTI than use a restroom.
Wow.
Because they are amount of politics and policing that takes place in using that space, it is so uncomfortable. So in the absence of new gender neutral restrooms or unisex restrooms, however they want to describe it, it is very uncomfortable for a trans woman to go use the men's restroom.
All right.
And it is dangerous. This is a community that is receives disproportionate amounts of violence, gender-based violence.
Yeah.
And likewise, if a trans masculine enters
a woman's restroom,
they're either going to call the guard, they're watching your hand, they're looking to grab the police and hold the police. I don't know what, it's extremely uncomfortable.
Wow.
So
what has the coalition has been doing to see if they can decrease this amount of or include more unisex washrooms in, like, let's say, for instance, in public areas? What are the steps are you all taking to get that done?
We have not done anything specific to the rest to public spaces, like creating that like unisex or third bathroom. It is actually coming about slowly on its own in certain spaces, which is great, what we do more is like public education. We educate our community members, the public as well. We do workshops and seminars with doctors to give them a better understanding of the trans experience and the need for trauma-informed healthcare when they come into the office spaces, especially when it comes to mental health care. That is one of our prime areas of targeting. We did a population size estimate population size estimate that was done with the University of West Indies recently. That in itself turned up some interesting data, but that allows us to be. It gives us now the data to inform what policies should be shaped.
Right.
This is the amount of persons who are of trans experience in this country. These are the challenges they're having. They're not having access to healthcare. Our real drive at the Trans Coalition is access to stigma-free and discrimination and non-discriminatory healthcare.
Right.
And by extension, housing, employment, and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of work. It's really, 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 really it's intersectional.
But are y'all getting any positive reviews or positive resolutions to these challenges that you face?
Oh, yes, I would say so. It's slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely.
We have, slowly but surely. So we have meetings with duty bearers, let's say, within the gender-based violence unit. We have had meetings with them and address the ways in which the community feel when they come in to make reports about being assaulted, the way the officers would respond to them. This is not something that is specific to Trans Coalition. I want to spread the love here. KAISO has been spearheading work in terms of a workplace policy that speaks to inclusion and diversity and equity. It's a very flexible and brilliant document that they would present to companies or other organizations as a roadmap as to how they could shape their workplace policies to be more inclusive.
Right.
Priority is really doing its part in terms of, normalizing our visibility within the wider community. So, like, just this weekend gone by, they had a drag bingo. It was amazing.
I went to the drag bingo last year. And the karaoke. It was awesome.
It was better. It was the drag bingo this year was
wow.
better. And I remember sitting there and what was amazing too, that the people actually dressed up in rainbow colors. And these are people who are not from our community.
Yeah.
And probably wouldn't identify themselves as allies. But they were there to win the bingo prizes. So they came out in the rainbow thing, the best rainbow costume. I remember two little old ladies in front of me, two senior citizens, one was like, oh my God, this is a gay bingo.
No pun intended.
But they did not walk out. they sat they down and won they a prize. The show.
I can imagine.
The performers, they did a really nice performance. It was amazing.
I told you, I went to the Pride karaoke last year. And let me tell you, when I tell you talent, Ray, you were there. You were there? I think you were sitting in the back. But I think Rudy introduced us officially. And I was is the talent boy. And you know your girls sing about two songs and I get a little prize. I won a free something. I can't even remember. But it was so awesome. It was so full of love. And that's what I said, you know, being there for the first time, it made me realize that, dude, y'all are like normal people, you know?
Very much so.
Whether you are in the community, like normal people, like regular you, me, his, her, he, she, it, like normal people. And I don't understand why persons would think what they think, but I find it just overreacting.
They don't know why they think what they think either.
I don't know. I don't know. Not like y'all are some different species. It's like regular human beings. Like when you're going to Maxi and you sit down, you don't even know who you're sitting next to. You know, and then when you watch your person, you think, all right, cool, I'm cool and normal. But you don't know if they are under that that group of persons.
The umbrella.
That's
true. I think there's been too much fantasizing about what trans person is, or what they look like, or what it should look like. They figure all trans persons are drag queens.
No.
It's not like that at all. Yeah. The average looking person could be trans and you wouldn't even know it. And they pay taxes and put on their pants one leg at a time like anybody else.
Like everybody else.
Well, lives are just as boring as the straight people's lives. You get to go to work, you come back home, you have more months than money.
You understand? Like regular schmegular human beings. And I think we as a society, we need to really get out of that mindset, get out of that mind frame that those are our brothers and sisters, our aunties and uncles, our parents, our best friends. Mm-hmm. It's us. It doesn't change the person that they are, even though they have a different thinking of whether it's a sexual orientation or whether who they are as a person. I mean, come on. When I say this might sound bad, but who cares? You understand? As I tell Rudy all the time.
Really, until no one really cares.
Who cares? Because we are all affected by the same issues and challenges that we are facing here today. We are all affected by 2013 salaries. We are all affected by high cost. We are all affected by it. So, you know what? I just find it overreacted. And here's my thing, right? Every time love is over, I say, hey, you'll get over it. Right? Yeah, it'll get over it. So, Ray, I want to... I know we have about 1 minute again for news, so let's give your wrap-up thoughts and speeches. So, I really hope that we can chat again soon.
I don't like that very much. What I would like to say is that a lot of parents have to come out too. I'm really concerned moving forward about parents and ally activities with trans, with gender and diverse sexualities.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give support to parents, tell them, and not to change mine or to any agenda, but to help them understand what changes their children might be going through, how we can support them with coping and having understanding and reliable information and knowledge.
Yes.
So it's all the parents to get involved as well.
All right,
before we come out, we're hoping that you answer.
Yes. So well, all right, Ray, thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope we talk soon.
Pleasure's mine.
Have a good one. Thanks so much.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.